Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and today I am joined by Bruce Perrault from Survivor 44 and Survivor 45. Here he is back for the second time on this podcast, the only two-time player. Everybody's talking about season 50. Who's going to play for a second time from the new era? We already knew one of the answers. It was you. You've already done it. So here you are. You're hanging out. You're ready to go.
Did I really play the first time, though? Like, I'm of an age where I'm wise, and I'm just here saying to myself, like, I'm like 1.1. That's how many times I've played the game. 1.1. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you want to say second time, yes, I ran in the sand, I hit the head, and, you know, I finished out that first challenge. But, you know, it is what it is. I'll take it. Second time. First, second time playing the new era. I'll take it.
I mean, did you last longer on the island than Wanda and Jonathan? You did, right? You made it through the first night.
No, I didn't. No.
Oh, you went the first day. Never mind. You didn't make it through the first night. So Jonathan and Wanda even have you beat.
Yeah, I was, you know, I was on that. I was on that island for, I believe it's 12 hours. 12 long hours. Dizzying hours.
I'd say they were memorable, but I doubt you remembered very much of it based on what happened there.
A good 85%, I think I'm at right now. So
yeah. There you go. What do you think? We had you on during 46. I think we had you on a little bit before the chaos during 46. I know you were at a softball game, so that was the real chaos. Was, are you going to get hit with a softball midway through this podcast? But we had you on a little bit before the chaos. We had a lot of chaos at the end of last season. Now we have season 47. We just had what a lot of people are considering one of the best pre-merge episodes in the history of Survivor. How are you feeling about what you've seen over the last season and a half, and especially in this season?
Yeah, the last season and a half has done a lot to try to catch up to 45. I'm just going to say that. Has done a lot to stay even with 44. I'm going to always hold 45, you know, to the, yes, thank you, sir. I'm going to hold 45 near and dear to my heart. I was able to play and had a damn good time doing so. But from what I've seen, you know, for 46, 46 started off as slow as hell, and I believe kind of Drew had mentioned it last week when you spoke to him that, you know, unfortunately there was one player that just derailed, you know, Survivor at that moment in time, Banu. And I don't want to say he did, the edit did what it did, but it started off slow, very, very, very slow for me and almost annoying for me. And then it picked up steam and got better, and then it ended okay. I didn't see the winner being the winner. It just is what it is. I'm happy that Kenzie won, but I didn't see that coming to fruition. As far as for this season, I'm extremely happy with this season. You know, I've not been bored yet, you know, watching what's going on. I've jumped up off of my couch multiple times, you know, and I've walked around with my hands over my head like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Like, you know, yelling at the screen. And you know, we'll get into it about, you know, me personally yelling at, you know, another player and being like, yo, you watch your step, homie. But with all
that could possibly be. I couldn't even fathom who you could be talking about like that, you know?
I don't know. Dom, love you, bro. But I can't wait to meet you. I really can't wait to meet you. You're a part of this beautiful family. But in the Peralta household, I'll tell you this, when I was growing up, your brother's walking on the side of your face talking junk, you're going to turn and you're going to get slapped. I'm kidding. But, you know, just the dynamics as to what's going on, the things that you're seeing that, you know, the people picking up on certain things and the way that it's transpiring is kind of making a lot of sense to me. The edit is doing well. I've not been shocked by anyone going home yet. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe because I played the game now and I kind of get an idea of how the edit works. I had a little bit of an idea before I did, but they're doing a good job by way of it right now.
What did you think? Did they make the right move getting rid of Keyshawn last week? Or do you think that they should have gotten rid of Rome or Saul? Or how do you think that that would have played out? Should have played out?
Well, to be selfish, in my own right, now don't give it to Saul. Leave Saul alone. Saul's my boy. Reason why he's my boy, he's older. Like, he's bringing more to the game than what most people think. Like, I got a soft spot. A soft spot in my heart for him just for the fact that he's older and he's got a little bit more life experience and he's got to deal with, you know, the inner workings of people that are at least 10 years younger than him. And that was my downfall. And he's just like, well, first off, stop saying bro. Like, I understand, like, you broed out too much in this episode. Bro, 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 bro. You serious, bro? You kidding me, bro? This real life, bro? Like, I'm just like, oh. That was whatever. But he still is like, you know, we don't see the cues that he picks up on. We don't see the strategy that he talks. We don't see any of that stuff. And that's unfortunate that it gets, you know, left on the editing floor. But I would not want to see Saul go home. If Rome went home, I would not have been mad. I would not have been mad because he would have went home with, you know, some kind of advantage in his pocket, which, you know, over the last couple of seasons, you know, Sabaya started it, then I, you know, continued it, and then it just kind of dominoed from there.
Years happened so long ago now. There's been so many people who've been voted out with idols in their pocket at this point that it almost feels like, wow, Bruce, you must have done that 15 seasons ago, because that's how many people have gone home with idols in their pockets since you did it. Like, it's unbelievable. 46 took a page out of your book. They said, we want to play like Bruce. That's all they want.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you this though. I got a group of, I'm gonna call them really good friends that remind me every day that I should have played that freaking idol. Mm. but so I'm constantly reminded about it. But yeah, it was television wise, it was less than a year ago that I didn't play my idol, and it just seems like it was like forever ago.
Yeah. So, all right. So you want to keep Saul? I agree. What I was saying last week, here you got Caleb. He's here, Uncle Bruce. Do you like seeing a fellow?
What up, dude? It's my boy. Sorry, I get excited when my peeps show up. I'll see him. I'm going to be at the RHAP on Wednesday, so I'll see him there. It's going to be so much fun.
That's going to be an insane event. I feel like everybody and their mother is going to that event. That's going to be a good one. I the only one I'm able to go to this year is the Bryson Wen event in New Orleans, which is October 30th. So
yeah.
I'm very excited for that one. But this RHAP event, I feel like this is the event of the season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty big. And having conversations with people about it, like, you're going to? No, really? And then, you know, it's gonna be fun just to be in a spot, and whether it be lunch or, you know, pregame and whatever have you, like, just be somewhere with a bunch of people that, you know, that I admire from the show. Whether they be castmates from 40, you know, 44, 45, you know, 15, whoever shows up. Like, I love being around the Survivor family.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a new twist on this episode, and we do have pictures of how this is shaking out. So Jeff says that this is going to be a twist unlike any that we've ever seen. Okay. I sometimes believe Jeff. I sometimes don't. So we can get into what this twist is. But we do have photographs, and these are not spoiler photographs. These are on IMDb. Like, these are basic photographs. We have photographs of two tribes, air quotes on tribes, running a challenge. And we can see all seven people who are on each. They're not wearing full buffs, though. These people are wearing colored buffs, like just like pieces of fabric, yellow fabric versus blue fabric. And they're still wearing their old buffs while they do this. So I don't know what that means. And I don't know how that's going to work out. But I have the people in front of me. We can write it down. We can talk about it. I can send you the link to this, too, if you want to. If that would make it easier so you can see it too. I can send it here in the private chat.
Yeah, please.
So we can see. There you go. I'm sending it to you right now, Bruce. You just got it. So this came off of IMDb, even though the website that you're looking at right now, you're going to be like, what the hell is this? If you scroll down, there's pictures. So here's who we're looking at. We got seven people wearing blue, and they are Andy, Saul, Genevieve, Annika, Sierra, Gabe, and Rome. So that's one. And then on the other team, which is yellow, we have Sam, we have Teeny, we have Sue, Caroline, Tiana, Kyle, and Rachel. Now, again, the interesting thing to me about this is they're all wearing their original buffs while they run this. So Jeff has not said drop your buffs in this situation. They are all wearing this color, but you can see Kyle still has the blue buff around his neck. Teeny has it around her neck. Who else do we have here? We have Rome is clearly wearing his as well. So what do you make of this? Are you able to see it? Like, what do you think that this is going to be?
I got it. Yeah, I got it. It's what I'm thinking is that we had to wear in our season, we had to wear around our arm. We had our I don't want to call them the sashes on our arm, which depicted what team we were on, even though we're all completely separate, but it depicted that. And it was after the merge. So it was a schoolyard pick. That's what they're doing. That's the twist that they've never done before. Meaning that it's a random draw, and this is just me spitballing out here, and hopefully I'm right, because then I can tell my wife I'm right, and then that's good. I'm spitballing because what's going to happen is you're going to have your tribes are going to be sitting there, they're going to put their hand in the bag, whatever have you. It's just going to be, you know, they're going to get their little sash to put on their arm. They're still the same tribes, but they're all competing separately. So however that shakes out, it could be a good thing, because there could be some additional drama, or, you know, for lack of better words, shit talking, but in like in between tribes for people that have never spoken to each other yet, that have just seen kind of how some people work, and the dynamic between them. So, you know, they'll pick up on stuff, meaning that if you have, let's say, I don't know, friggin' Rachel and Rome happen to look at each other like across the way and be like, hey, like how is that dynamic going to be with the rest of the tribe looking at it? Because they're all in separate, two separate competing groups, if you will, but they all still have their same tribes. Well, how's that going to work out? Then what's the reward? Like, are they going to get food? And then all of a sudden people are going to come back that are on their tribe that have had food. And then all of a sudden the other team, like the other people don't have food. Like, it's just going to cause so much chaos and not for nothing. I'm kind of going to like it.
So let me see. Okay. So I have a theory right now, because here's another picture. So Rome, I mean, you just follow Rome on social media. Okay. That's all you got to do. And you're able to kind of follow along with what's going on here. Right. So Rome posted a picture at 59 minutes ago of him, Gabe, and Andy all wearing these blue, whatever, getting ready to run a race, run this challenge.
Yep.
However, then he posts a picture 26 minutes ago of him, Saul, Genevieve, and Teeny all pulling a massive bag of coconuts in a challenge. So here's my question to you, Bruce, and play along with me here and see if this makes sense. This is not going to be mergatory. This is not going to be they split up and then seven are safe, seven are not. I think what's going to happen is this. I think they are going to run a challenge where you are going to run 7-on-7 and have cross tribes running it together. And I think what's going to happen is whichever tribe, whichever team, it's a team here, whichever team wins, those people are all immune from tribal council if their tribe goes to tribal council. And then they run an immunity challenge. And when they run the immunity challenge, the team that loses goes to tribal, but they can only vote for somebody who was not part of that winning team in the air quotes reward. Because I think the fact that there are two challenges being run in this episode, and one is with your original tribe and one is with these put together tribes, that's what it feels like to me.
That's a very good That very well could happen. I wonder what the reward would be, though, aside from, you know, being immune. And I'm thinking maybe, excuse me, could be a double tribal.
Could be a double tribal.
Why not? We're at 14. Yeah. Drop it down to 12. Call it a day. Or, hell, if I have any idea, it could be all three go to tribal.
Yeah.
Because there's... Right now, you got 4, 5, and 5, right? So,
no, it's 5. Oh, yeah, you're right. It's 4, 5, and 5 because Red just lost. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is awesome. This is,
yeah,
my mind going, my blood boiling a little bit, but I just don't, if it's immunity, fine, that's perfectly fine. And then you're not taking anyone's vote away because if I understand it correctly, everybody's going to have the ability to vote.
Except for Kyle.
Oh, that's right.
Kyle hasn't gone to a tribal council. And actually, Annika hasn't gone yet either. So Annika and Kyle are both without their votes because they haven't had to go yet. And the only thing that might ruin this theory is they didn't separate these people evenly. So Teeny is the only person from the red tribe on this yellow team. Now, maybe that's just how it broke out. But there's two from blue. I'm sorry, there's four from blue. So there's actually Teeny's the only one on yellow from red on yellow. And then Gabe is the only one from blue who's on blue. So that would be like, okay, if the only thing you could do is, you know, you win the challenge and then you're safe. If blue were to go to tribal, Gabe has to go home. If red were to go to tribal, Teeny would have to go home. And I feel like Survivor wouldn't want to go down that path, right? Of like essentially forcing people out of the game. So maybe my theory is not right, but I could see them doing something like that. There's two challenges. We know that.
Mm-hmm. I really do think that it was the luck of the draw. If you think about it, when we did, you know, on 45, when we mixed up the tribes, four of us came over from Bello, You know what I'm saying? It's just the luck of the draw when it comes to just grabbing whatever out of the, you know, the pouch or off the plate from Jeff. I'm very interested to see what this is going to, you know, amount to. Even when they were, we were seeing, my, you know, with my wife and some friends, we were watching last week's episode, and, you know, something we've never seen before. And I'm like, oh, I'm just sitting there like for like 5 minutes afterwards, like trying to think of like, what the hell is he going to have? What is he going to come up with? What's it going to be? And, you know, I really couldn't think of anything that that would be different. Like the schoolyard pick was the first thing that came to mind, but they've done that before, you know, they've had it. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I really do think that they're going to mix up the tribes somehow, some way, which as we can see, it wasn't mixed up all that well, but they're going to mix up the tribes and they're going to compete. And I like the idea of the immunity for the winning tribe. And then they compete again. And maybe two out of the three tribes, you know, once they get back together, two out of the three tribes, they end up going to tribal council, double elimination this week, and then go on.
Yeah.
Just move on. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's so this is the synopsis for the episode, too, just to read it all. I mean, right, we got it. The fallout from Tribal Council leaves one castaway feeling like they're on the outs. During the reward challenge, tribes must shoot their shot to land a win and earn an advantage. So I wonder if that reward challenge is them the one where they're dragging the coconuts, or it's the one where they split up weird. But, Jeff, they're not even putting this weird twist into the description synopsis of the episode, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. You know what, though? It makes me think that unlike the advantages that are being found in this game that has happened a lot in the new era, Survivor is actually keeping it under wraps. They're gonna as much as they possibly can, keep this a secret until it's revealed. Mm-hmm. You know, so I subscribe to it. I like it. Let's make it. Let's finally be pleasantly surprised about something that we've never seen before. That would be awesome.
And it is fun because I feel like Survivor, a lot of times by the time we get to Monday before an episode, everybody knows what the twist is. And that doesn't mean you go on, you know, spoiled Survivor, or that doesn't mean that you're hunting for these spoilers. Just go to Redmond. Redmond's going to tell you what the twist is. Like you go to Inside Survivor, it's going to be there. You're going to know, or somebody's going to have tweeted it out. But right now we're getting hints. It's not like they're hiding it. The press photos are showing it. Like these are CBS press photos that are being released. They're okay sharing them.
Yeah.
So,
and then you don't know the premise behind it, though. That's just awesome. That is awesome. I love it. Give me the carrot, okay? But keep it on that stick and just run and let me try to get it. And then if I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. And me personally, I'm not going to be searching for the answer. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to la, 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 la. And then I'm going to eventually be able to see it and be like, okay, that's good.
No, and I feel like you and I are both going to be very surprised Wednesday. And it seems like the people who are in our chat right now, they don't know either. Like they don't have the answer to what's going on, which a lot of times, you know, the chat will be like, oh, it said this or, you know, something. And right now people are just kind of like, hey, you know, this is still probably the number one comment. You know, I'll just keep throwing it up there over and over again so that you can read it. let's jump into the rankings. And this could end up being a really hard week to rank because we don't know exactly what's going to happen. Although I will say, I've been terrible ranking every week. This week's been super, this season's been super hard from start to finish. Last week I had Keyshawn in spot 6. Week 3, or episode 3, I had Asia in spot 8. Episode 2, I had, where did I even have? I had TK in spot 4. I've been terrible, Bruce. I've been absolutely awful.
You know, for me to take a look at, I was surprised at Keyshawn from last week. Like I really was. But if we're starting this bad boy off on who's the safest person, the one who orchestrated him going home, I think is Genevieve. Mm-hmm. She even said in one of her confessionals, she's an alpha. And you know who else was an alpha? D. Mm-hmm. And she didn't show it. Like she showed it in her own ways. And we got to see it in the edit and stuff like that. But you know, it wasn't like she was brazen and out there. So I'm going to have her at number one because I can see her being very safe this week. I don't think that Rome's going to pull the same BS that he pulled last week. Oh, I don't know how the puzzles are going to go. Come on, man. Yeah. Like, you know that this thing's got yellow all over it, and you're looking at the tree, the base of it, and there's not a single spot of yellow. It usually blends so
you're
into
saying
itself.
You're saying he threw it?
Oh, yeah. There's no getting around it. Like, I really do. And then from what they showed, now Rome, please don't take this personal, but what they showed in the edit, me looking at it, I thought you threw it. I talked to four other people in regards to it, and they're like, oh yeah, he definitely threw that. And I'm talking old school Survivor people, some new school Survivor people. Mm-hmm. He threw it. So, you know, it just is what it is, because he's hell bent on getting Saul out of the game. And what led up to that point in time, and then what happened after that point in time, you know, it just kind of, that in my mind validates it. So, but for Genevieve to turn around and say, okay, buzzer was blind, she has the in with Rome, who's close to her, and Rome mentioned that. And then she just started doing her fact finding in a way that nobody thought anything of it, because not for nothing, nobody likes to get their name put out there at mm-hmm. all. So mm-hmm. Genevieve was just like, okay, so what are we gonna do? You're gonna put my name out there? Now you start you know, taking stock as to what's going on. Like, oh, this was his plan. This was his plan. And boom, you come to your thing and it's like, all right, now he's gotta go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have Genevieve at one just because of this weird twist. So my number one is Sam, and it's right here. Adam Skyline says Sam should be saved with an idol for one tribal. That's why I have it, because if this ends up being a weird twist that we're not expecting, let's say it is running 7-on-7, and these people are going to go to tribal council, and they're actually going to vote together, and we're not going to call it a merge or a tribe swap. We're just going to say, no, it's just one tribal council. Whatever, you know, even though back in Gabon, there was just one tribal council and we called that a tribe swap. If it's something like that, Sam is going to be safe because Sam has the idol. And I don't see an idol nullifier being instilled into the game this week with all of this going on. Because if they're going to do two challenges, I don't think we're getting a journey, which means I don't think we're necessarily going to get a crazy advantage implemented into the game. So I'm going to put Sam at number one. Him and his 16 confessionals in one episode can stick around for another week. How do you feel when you see somebody get 16 confessionals in an episode, Bruce?
I'm a little jealous.
Yeah.
Okay. No, seriously, you know, I look back at our season, and my name was brought up so much, but it wasn't in like a positive light. It wasn't me, you know, showcasing what I'm seeing. And I felt that the confessionals that I gave were pretty damn good. And, you know, I was laughing the entire time when I was being recorded. Everyone that was there, the sound guy was laughing. We just had a good time in the confessionals. I had a couple of them where I lost my mind, but it is what it is. But to see someone have 16, that's a lot. That's a lot. And that just gives me pause in thinking that they're going to win the game. You know, when I see that many, especially
for you had 16 or 17 last season.
Yeah. Did Q win the game?
No.
You know, I don't, I would love to know if somebody wants to reach out to me and let me know, but I would love to know the average for the winners since, you know, in the new era. Let's not go back too far. But in the new era, I would love to know the average just to see. And, you know, just because they tend to, I think they tend to keep them, you know, kind of on the level playing field. But even Erica didn't have a ton until towards the end. She's like, you know, an influx.
You know, people know that I love my confessionals. Kenzie averaged 5.77 per episode.
Good man.
There you go. Hey, I got this. I love my confessionals. D was 4.85. Now, that doesn't really surprise me because Kenzie had the whole Banu situation at the beginning. She was on a disaster. Tribe D wasn't. So Kenzie was getting a lot more confessionals early, right? Makes sense than D was. Jam, who ended up with – he was like top 10 all time in terms of confessionals in a single season. He averaged 6.23.
Yeah, but Jam Jam's TV gold, baby. He just, listen, he will smile. You smile every time he talks to someone, even when he's stressed out. Like, he's like, okay, so I'm smiling. I can feel your soul. That's awesome.
Gabler 3.54. So the lowest so far out of everybody I've mentioned. Marianne was 3.69.
Oh.
And then Erica, we all know, is going to be the lowest here. So, you know, it is what it is. But she was 3.
Really? Wow.
So it was 3, 3.69, 3.54, 6.23, 4.85, and then Kenzie with 5.77. So you're kind of right. 16, like right now, if you're looking at this and you're saying, okay, what is Sam averaging through 4 episodes of the show? Sam is averaging 7.25. which is more than Jam Jam. And like you said, Jam Jam's TV gold. And this is no shot at Sam, but I've met Jam Jam in person, and I've watched him on TV. Jam Jam's a little bit more entertaining than Sam is.
I love that. Jam, yeah, because, and I'll talk a little bit more about Jam Jam. Whenever I call him on the phone, Bruce, how are you doing? It's good to see you. Everything is perfect. Everything is good. Like, that's Jam Jam. Like, he just makes you feel great. And it's like, wow, like, well, how can I, like, bottle that? How can I have the Jam Jam magic? It just is what it is. But I just, to hear that, to know that he's already at 7 point something, but he doesn't have that, to me personally, nothing against any of the players from what I'm seeing in the edit. Remember, everyone listening as a former player wants to play again. If somebody's talking about you, it's just because of the edit. It's not you personally. From what I'm seeing in the edit, he's potentially going to find himself some trouble. So I don't have him. I don't have him ranked. I don't have him ranked pretty high at all. It's actually the middle of the field is what I got him. But we'll talk about that. So
yeah,
but he he's. It's like kind of that thing, peaking now, and then I think it's just going to fall off within the next two episodes. He's going to get caught up in the sauce, I think, from a couple of other players that are just going to – we're going to get rid of the – I don't want to say duds, but we're going to get rid of the people that aren't giving as much, and then the people that are shining right now are going to get cut, and then the rest of them are just going to start shining. So that's just my thought.
Yeah. All right, let's – who's you got at number two then?
Tiana. I got Tiana at number two. And I think the reason why I have Tiana at number two is because – look at Sue, and I'm sitting there and I'm watching Sue with this whole, she got her idol, falls out of the tree, and blah, blah, blah. She's just kicking the sand. Everything's the leaves and everything. She's trying to get all the red paint out of the way. She's like, oh, snap, I got it all over me. And then when she started doing that and moving everything, she touched her face and I saw it immediately. I'm like, that's going to bite her in the ass. And then she's cleaning herself off, and then they got her, and they showed the camera in such a way, and you could have been thinking to yourself, oh, she got it all off, it's all gone. Hell no, there's no way. I was yelling at my television because I know exactly where she was on that path. If you went a little bit further, I don't want to say north, but I'll just say it, a little bit further up the path, you could have made it down to the beach, went in the water, and cleaned yourself right off. Tiana was like, oh, what's up? Are you bleeding? You got it on your face, right in your face. Oh, you got red in your hair. You got red, like, what's on your hands? And she picked up on that. And she's not afraid to pick up on that and ask that question. And then I believe she was walking with Carolyn.
Yeah, she was walking with Caroline. It was the two of them who walked up. And Caroline doesn't really want to blow up Sue because they're so tight,
That's right. So I'm thinking that with her seeing that and having a little bit more awareness, I have her at number two, that she's going to be. Should be safe enough to see that, and then also maybe have a conversation with the two of them and make sure that they stay tight and hopefully not say like, oh, I know you have an idol, but just do the things that you need to do and knowing that someone has an idol that she didn't tell you about.
Can I tell you?
There's no other way to have that.
Yeah, I think you put Tiana at two because you're crazy, Bruce. I got Tiana so low. I think she's in so much trouble. And she was my preseason winner pick. I keep saying that every week. She was my preseason winner pick. And I just think she's in trouble. And here's why that scene to me reads a little bit differently. I think Sue is playing sloppy. But I almost feel like Sue playing sloppy doesn't kill her right now. Because Caroline and Gabe both want to keep Sue so bad. Like, Gabe keeps saying, I wanted to play the game with somebody like Sue, and now I have Sue. Yeah. And then you have Caroline, who also walked up. And Will and I talked about this. There had to be a scene last week that we just didn't see of Caroline saying to Sue, what is on your face? You have to tell me right now. But we didn't see that scene because it doesn't fit whatever the story was for that episode. But Caroline doesn't want to blow up Sue's game in front of Tiana. And so while Tiana called this out, I still just feel like the way the numbers are shaken, I don't know if she's in that good of a spot. I hope she is, but I just don't know.
Yeah. From what I had said a second ago, I can see where it can be flipped the other way. I really can see that. But I have faith in Tiana in thinking that she has the ability to keep her threat level down even though it's almost kind of got blown up. I just think Tiana's going to be fine. I think she'll be just fine. She'll be safe this week and next. I think that with this challenge coming up that she will be able to help the team move forward, because at this point in time, she's not the strongest person. She's probably the strongest woman, but not the strongest person that's out there, but she's going to do just enough to keep in the good graces of people. You know, with Gabe being there as well and him wanting to be with, like you said, with Sue and the mom, you know, archetype, that's smart of him, because those are the people that tend to, they definitely make it to the merge unless they completely blow up somebody's game. But I think that Tiana is going to be, she'll be able to fall into that. You know, I'll be the fourth part of the spoke on the wheel, perfectly fine. I'll do whatever you guys need to do. I'll still be aware of everything, but let's do it all together and keep me around. So.
And blue also has to lose. And I know that yellow has been winning everything. And I know that red, like, looks like they're in a bit of trouble, but I just don't know if blue is going to lose. Like, I feel like the blue tribe, I feel like we've seen the least of that dynamic. And if this is going to be the final pre-merge episode, I just feel like we would have seen more of that dynamic before they went. Right. Like, think about Erica's season. We saw like none of the dynamic on blue because they never went. And we saw TK and we saw how everybody reacted to TK. And since then, it's just kind of been like, yeah, sure, we're all good. Like, you know, we're hanging out.
Oh. Yeah. That's why I went on my journey. And Drew was like, you know, bad gameplay, man. I remember that. But it's like, I had nothing to tell him. I didn't know. We weren't going to tribal. There was nothing for no tea for me to spill for everybody. Like, you know, and I don't mind that at all. Like, if it's boring as hell because they're winning, then morale should stay up.
Yeah.
You know, so keep me winning. That's how I look at it. Keep me winning. I don't need to be on television. Unfortunately, I was on television a ton because I was, you know, supposedly throwing in sides. But, you know, it's as far as for the inner workings and everything like that, like we didn't really see our Bella tribe that happening until Bella was split up and we lost two people. Mm-hmm. And then when Kendra and Brando, you know, then you start seeing, you know, now they're kind of not mostly pitting at each other, but now it's happening because they got all the influences. So whatever, like, if we're not seeing a tribe because they're winning, I have no problem with that.
Yeah. Yep. I will go ahead and put Genevieve at number two. So you had her at one. I just put her behind Sam because Sam has the idol, but Genevieve was masterful last week. It was so good. It was so fun to watch. Teeny had a great tweet about it, which I won't repeat on here because there's some verbiage in there that probably shouldn't be said on this podcast, but it was such a good tweet about her explaining to Genevieve the next day that when people start saying certain things about her, they mean it as a positive, not as a negative. And it was just so funny because Teeny was already reading into the internet is going to love you for what you just did, because it was insane. Teeny was just left out of it. But I think Genevieve did that perfectly. And Genevieve didn't have to hurt herself in any way, shape, or form to make this happen. In good with Rome, in good with Saul. Teeny doesn't have a choice but to say, okay, what do you want to do to move forward? Am I still in with you? Would it still be Saul before me? What's going on? That's good. So we'll see.
That's why she's my one.
We just got a this is one of those super likes that I always like to get, and I always have to show them. This is from Jack Wolf. Can I get a Go Dogs horns down from Bruce?
Go Dogs on down, horns down. It's because of my accent. Go Dogs horns down. What's up?
I love it. I love it. There you go. Thank you, Jack Wolf, for the super chat. And thank you, Bruce, for appeasing.
What's up?
Adam Skyline says, no way, Genevieve. Genevieve's in big danger. Teeny, Annie, and Caroline Amulet Advantage is going to pull those alliances over, leaving Genevieve in bad spot. It's too early for that to do anything. Right now, Teeny's amulet means nothing. Teeny's amulet means nothing.
And remember, yes, Austin had a vendetta last, you know, in season 45. He was a part of a three-way, you know, amulet. And he was an integral part of being able to get that thing switched over to an idol. So,
yeah,
you know, as much as we see that, oh my God, it's great, the cute little things on a string, like, it's beautiful, but it doesn't hold any water until, you know, after the merge, once people start getting dropped off, because there are plans that are being put in place now to be able to get those people off so that you can, you know, be the sole survivor, not sole survivor, but the sole one holding that amulet to turn it into an idol.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. Who do you have at number three?
I'm number three. I have Gabe. I have Gabe at number three. Because he hitched his, like I mentioned before, he hitched his wagon to, you know, to Sue as much as humanly possible. And, you know, he, Sue was crying last episode and, you know, he's like, I did too. And, you know, for anyone that's played Survivor, we've all had that moment. We've all sat there and just like walked down the beach and sat down in a pile of sand and just started crying. Like, this is what you do. You go through this. And if you remember Gabe at the very beginning, which I see to be a little bit of a change in his attitude towards it, is that at the very beginning he had mentioned like, yo, I don't want to make friends. I don't need to make friends. This, mm-hmm. this is just about winning $1 million, blah, blah, blah. You know, again, for lack of better terms, that shit ends quick. It mm-hmm. does. Like you figure out that you need these people and you start talking to them. And then we don't see the conversation about family, friends, food, constantly talking about food. Family, friends, food, you know, illnesses that, you know, people have had, family members that have, like everything. Like you talk about everything because if they're going to cast people, they're going to cast people. They're going to want to talk about stuff, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And when they talk about stuff, it's great TV, but it's a great intermingle, you know, or just bonding for everyone to be able to have a good conversation about it. You know, don't ask me about my kids. I'll start talking about my kids. You know, when I was on that island, I'll just start tearing up in a hot beat. Mm-hmm. And then once that happens, like two other people start tearing up because they think about their dad. So they have, you know, their family. So he went out there as a hard ass and he's changing. He's changing right in front of us. They're not showing it as much, I don't think. But, and like I said, he's latched onto Sue. And Sue's with I keep wanting to say Caroline. It's Caroline, right?
Caroline, yeah, Caroline.
No, there's a movie out there. If ADHD, like you wouldn't believe it. There's a movie out there called The Ref with Dennis Leary. I don't know if you remember that movie.
Caroline.
That's all that rings in my head when I think of her name. But anyway, he's hitched to them, so he's in a very good spot. And I don't see them losing with the competition that they go into. He should be perfectly fine.
I actually have Caroline as my number three. So instead of going Gabe or anything like that, I'm going to go Caroline. Kind of like what you're saying. I do want to point this out. I think it was Adam. We had Adam on and did a tell all with us after his first game. So after he won Millennials vs. Gen X, he didn't win Winners at War. After he won Millennials vs. Gen X, and he said, if you go out to play Survivor and you say, I'm not here to make friends, you're not there to win. Because if you don't make friends, you will never win Survivor. Because people are only going to vote for who they like at the end of the game. That's just how it goes. And there's certain people who might not talk to the winners of their season, who might have voted for the winner of their season and might not talk to them. But that doesn't mean that they at one point weren't friends. If you're going out there with that mentality of, I don't care, F you, I'm done, you're going to end up being a zero vote or one vote finalist. That's just how it's going to go. So I think Gabe has already shown some growth there. But the reason I like Caroline the most on this tribe and why I think she's in the best spot is simply because Caroline fits into everybody's plan. Tiana feels good about Caroline. I don't really know why. I don't feel like Caroline's really done much to say, hey, Tiana, I'm on your side, but Tiana feels good. Gabe feels good with Caroline. Sue feels phenomenal with Caroline. That's number one for her. For her. And then you turn around and you have Kyle. Who can Kyle turn to? Well, when he heard the Gabe news and Gabe saying, let's get rid of Sue or let's get rid of the girls, he goes right over to Caroline. Now, Sue's mad at Kyle, but Caroline feels good about it. Caroline fits into every single plan right now. And so I really, really love where she's at. And that's why I have her at number three. Plus, if this twist happens and there is some nonsense of, you know, they are going to go to tribal in the groups they're in, she's with three other people from her original tribe. So if this seven were to go to tribal council, she's in the 4-3 majority. And even though Kyle is one of those people, I think that they would just vote together and get rid of somebody else. So that's what I think.
Yeah. I have her at number four.
Okay.
For all of those reasons. Something about the woo.
Yeah, right. I wonder why.
if you're doing yourself a favor and you sit there and you kind of lean back in the chair and close your eyes, right, and visualize Caroline and your friend group. She's in your friend group. Mm-hmm. So everybody, I think, can do that. everybody can sit back, close their eyes, and say, okay, yep, there she is. She's a part of my friend group. So that's why she's they're comfortable with her, and everybody can have that conversation with her, and everybody can go to her and you know, talk to Sue, can look at her like, oh my gosh, she reminds me of my daughter. Mm-hmm. You know, Gabe can be like, oh, she reminds me of someone that I could have dated. Tiana, oh, that's someone that, you know, once I get married, it could be, she could be my bridal party, you know. Mm-hmm. And then for Kyle, again, you know, it could be his sister. So she falls into that mode where I think that she's going to be safe for a while. And, you know, you listen to her confessionals, and she has this sense of being, of definitely understanding the game, but being very comfortable in knowing the game.
Yeah.
But not too overly confident in any other aspect, meaning, you know, you're walking around with the bravado and stuff like that, and then the cockiness of you know, because you know so much. It's been great to see people that have been casted for this game that know a ton about the game, but they checked, I don't want to say their ego, but they checked their ego at the door, you know, and they just walked in. Some people just didn't check their ego, and they just, it's running wild all over the place.
Yeah.
But she's doing a good job. She's doing a good job in being well-versed on the game, well-versed on the social part of it, and, you know, kind of keeping her head just above water by way of seeing what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. Caroline does have a little bit of that Kenzie feel to her from last season. I think there's a little bit less of an edge to Caroline. But I think what works is, like, Kenzie got through because she wasn't the most physical. She wasn't the most strategic. She wasn't, but she was really likable. People wanted to be around her. And it was that exact thing that you just said. Like, you never walked up to Kenzie and said, oh shit, Kenzie's here. You know, like, if Kenzie walked into your conversation, you didn't say, oh my God, I don't want to talk to her. Like, she's so annoying. It didn't happen. And that's, I think, why Kenzie
went. That was when they said, when I showed up, that's when I walked up.
That was, oh, my bad. That's what I meant to say. I know that Bello tribe. They were always like, where's Bruce? Get him over here right now. We're at the water well, Bruce. Come here.
Yeah, let's talk to Bruce. Oh, shit. There's Bruce.
I know. Let's go hide. So at my number four, I have Sierra. So if I love Sam, I love Sierra. And I just feel like if Yellow sticks together, I'll just spoil my number five. I also have Andy. So I go right to Andy right after Sierra. I don't think Andy really has a chance to win this game in any way, shape, or form. But Sierra, Andy, Sam, I think that's the alliance. Sierra kind of hints last week, I want to get rid of Andy still. I want to work with the women. There's no way that Sam is going to let that happen. If Sam finds out that that's going to be the move, he's going to play the idol for Andy. He's going to keep Andy safe. I don't see this happening. I think that those three are clearly safe over there on that tribe. Sam has the idol. He has already said he'd play it for Andy. And he realizes that if Sierra goes with the women and votes out Andy here, even if she says, I'm coming back to you, Sam, it's a 2-2 split, and Rachel and Annika aren't splitting up, and Sierra will have no choice but to vote against Sam as to prevent rocks or whatever the twist would be. So I think Sam for sure would play the idol on Andy to keep him in, especially since it's only good for one tribal council. And that's what I got.
I had a full-fledged idol, and I said that I would play it for Jake.
You didn't play it.
Things change. I know.
I know. I'm just saying. But you also had a full-fledged. I think having the full-fledged, though, makes you think so much more. With the one tribal idol, if you aren't in danger, you have to play it at that tribal, right? Like, you almost feel like you have to. I mean, we saw Gabe play his. We saw Rome play his. It feels like you have to. So if you have to, you know.
He's gonna play it on himself. You know, this is a zero-sum game. You have to be selfish in some way, shape, or form. So if you save Andy, Andy catches a stride, you could be gone the next tribal, right? There's nothing stopping you. With getting so close to the, like, I don't want to say so close, but close enough to the merge, if anything were to happen in the next 2 weeks, and, you know, you kind of have an idea. Because if you remember, Sam was sitting there and you know, he doesn't know where he stands. Oh, you know, his tightest alliance member is saying things about, you know, what was the name of the group? The
Breadwinners. The Breadwinners.
Yeah, the Breadwinners. So he didn't know about that. And he's being told about it after the fact, after he already heard about it. So now his paranoia is starting to set in. So when the time comes, even though it's like, oh yeah, we'll vote Andy, and he's like, then he's gonna start having a come to Jesus moment, like, okay, so we're close to the merge, I could save him, but then if they could turn around and go back on me, like, and he's already made his voice heard that he doesn't want to, you know, vote Andy. So yeah, it's gonna get out there in the ether somehow, some way. So he's gonna be able to play it on himself if it comes down to that. So I don't see him playing the idol for Andy. I don't see Andy being safe. If they happen to go to tribal council in the next 2 weeks.
There you go. There's your people. Survivor Now podcast, our man Bruce with the great takes. See, you're getting the great takes compliment with the clapping hands. I'm over here, you know. I don't have any defense. So that's it.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
I could see it going either way. I just feel like based on what I'm watching, that's the story I'm watching. The story I might really be watching is Yellow doesn't go again, but I do think that Yellow is going to go to one more tribal council. I'm just so – this split thing that we don't know about that has you and me both very excited also has me very stressed because I like to be right about things. I've never celebrated harder than when Michelle and Gabler won their seasons because everybody said they couldn't do it, and I kept saying all season they could. So I cheered really hard when they won because I was right and the world was wrong. And that's how I like to be when I do my podcasting. And right now, I don't feel like I can be right. I'm not in a position to be successful. And it's really hurting me. So, you know, it has me stressed. So I'm just going to keep going to my old takes and hope that they're right, even though I'm getting smoked in the power rankings right now. So, anyway.
No, listen, it's you die on that hill. Any hill you can die on, you die on it. That's it.
Can I tell you one thing to help you with your power rankings? I got to take a quick shot at Will, since he's not here to defend himself. So Will and Blake drafted our teams. We did our fantasy draft at the beginning of the season. Each of us took six people. Here's Will's team. Keyshawn, TK, Asia, John Lovett, Caroline, and Genevieve. So four of his six people are already out of the game. He literally picked four. So does that mean we both have Caroline and Genevieve very high? Should we have taken this into account and said, oh shit, like Will might have read spoilers and trolled us all?
That's a very good possibility. That is a very good possibility.
How do you pick four people voted out of the game, Bruce? How do you do that?
I listen, it's maybe a masterful art that he has. but I lost in my draft that I did, I lost TK, and I'm just like, I was beside myself because at the beginning you're looking at everything, you're watching these interviews and you're doing a little bit of reading. You're kind of getting an idea before you select and you can see it and just everything looks so good. And then via the edit, open the mouth, stop talking. It's like, oh, and you just know it's like, oh, this is gonna end bad. And then, you know, he's gone and, you know, the points that I have right now are very low on the bottom of the totem pole with my draft. But even still, it's like, it takes a skill to get the first, you know, four people out of six to get voted out.
It's funny.
You're sitting there holding almost nothing.
It is funny though, because like this is always my favorite, right? Like if I picked the top three people from this season, people would say, oh, he read spoilers, like he must have known, blah, blah, blah. But if you pick the first four people voted out of the game, everybody just laughs at you. And it's funny because you have just as high of a chance of picking the first four as you do of picking the first four out. So like, you know, people try to be like, did you read spoilers? Did you do this? It's like, sometimes you just get really lucky. Sometimes you just pick. I had D, Jake, and I think I had D, Jake, and Austin all in the final four of your season. And it's like, how the hell do you do that? Well, because D's from Miami, because Austin seemed like he was a nice guy and he was on D's tribe. And I really like Jake's accent. And those were essentially my reasons for doing that. Like, there was no spoiler there. That's just kind of how I felt. Yeah. So, you know,
it's funny. Yeah, no, listen, you're spot on with those. I'll tell you, spot on with all of them. I'm actually going to be with Jake. He's coming down tomorrow and we're going to New York. Oh man, we're going to go together. I can't wait to be around him. I definitely will.
Make sure he knows I say hi, because I love Jake. All right, you're only on number five. We're at 50 minutes, Bruce. Come on. Who do you have at five? All right. You're waiting until the final out of the Yankees game, so I can't watch them win. You don't even want me to see a pitch.
I'm sorry, who?
Yeah, exactly.
What team? What team was that?
I don't know if you know this or not, Bruce, but there's this thing called the MLB playoffs that's going on right now. It's this very interesting thing that teams do sometimes.
Yeah, I heard it was kind of fun. I like to at least I would love to be in a situation where my team would actually like look over the wall and see it. Like right now, we're still putting bricks on the bottom of the wall. So
I'm telling you, it's like the rivalry doesn't even matter at this point because it's like, where are they? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, no. The rivalry is a local high school team, the Boston Red Sox, right now. So
yeah,
that's how that works. Number five. I have Teeny at number five. Still a safe position. I have her there. Because again, she's another one. She started off saying, actually, she had it in her confessional last week. You know, I came out here to be, you know, to play this mad strategic game, this, that, and the other. And then just, you know, it's like that really, really old man that just ended up seeing something that made his heart grow and he just became nice. That's what happened with Teeny. Like, she said it herself. She wanted to come out here and just kick ass. And she's now like, okay, now these are people. These are feelings. Yeah. These are thoughts. They were sharing the same lived experience. But she's in a good position because everybody's talking to her about what's going on. And
you feel like she's okay, though, even though Keyshawn went home and she was the only one who was not in the know?
I feel that she's okay because now they're gonna recognize that yes, Teeny was, you know, Keyshawn was Teeny's number one potentially. Like they can see that. She's probably not gonna go back and say, well, you know, guys, you know, why didn't you tell me what's going on? Suddenly, like she's gonna, I understand it, blah, blah, and how can I get in your good graces? She's gonna do the thing that needs to be done to be a part of, you know, the clique, if you will. Again, mm-hmm. she could potentially be now on the third rung of the wheel, because now everybody else there's more of a solidified alliance between other people. So Teeny's going to take a look at it and she's going to be like, okay, shit, I botched that one, but people are still talking to me. So I'm going to still try and garnish and grow those relationships so that I'm not on the bottom. I have a couple more weeks before we merge and then anything can happen, but I need to be able to avoid tribal council, help out with that, and then just keep in the know. So, but I don't, you know, her Keyshawn was, I think, a snap to a decision. I don't think that was something that was like that. Well, that definitely, from what we've seen the edit, that was not like, you know, oh, let's hum and haw about it for, you know, a day and a half and then we'll make a decision. No, that was done that day, the day that they were going to tribal council. So you only have like 3 hours.
And Teeny couldn't vote. So what difference does it really make, right? Like Teeny admitted to people that she had no vote. So what does it matter? You don't have to let her in on it. And I feel like if you're Genevieve, if you're Saul, especially if you're Saul, you don't actually want to move forward in this game with Rome. You're willing to go over to Teeny and say, let's get this guy out of here. Like, I want to get him out. So I don't think she's dead by any means. But again, the split has me nervous, Bruce. All alone, the only red person over there on yellow. That has me scared. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means.
That's like when Brando, we lost Brando. Yeah, and unbeknownst to me, I didn't know that he was like, you know, whatever, like Bruce out. You don't know that stuff. But when you're in the game and you're playing, for myself personally, I took a look at it. Like, yo, I even remember looking over to Kendra after the swap had taken place. We had won, actually there were three tribes. We had came in second place with a slingshot. And then I remember looking over to Kendra and saying, you know, mouthing to her, take care of Brando. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And she's like, oh my God, cool. And then I see him again. It's like, what the fuck is Brando? What happened? Did you eat Brando?
Kendra tried.
Yeah, I know. But it is what it is. It's just, it's the beauty of this game. That's why we love this game so much. And it has so many twists and turns. And you know what? Production, you don't need to put twists and turns in because the players will do it themselves.
Players will figure it out.
They'll figure it out. And then when you think that you got some TV gold, they're going to give you TV platinum. And it's we're going to do something different for you, and it's going to be fun.
And that was proven. I think that was proven last week. That was proven last week by what Genevieve did. So, yeah, I agree. All right. Who do you have at six? I like having you. I like when you're a step ahead here. So who do you have at six?
All right. So I have horrible handwriting and it's getting laid out. So I got to put my glasses up for a second. Hold on.
No.
Okay. So at six, and this is, we'll give six. Annika, dead in the middle, not dead in the middle, but safe enough, you know, for a variant to happen. You know, even though she talked as much junk as she did to Sam, not last episode, the episode before, kind of micromanaging, and even though she's, I think it's kind of needed just a tad bit. It is needed because the dynamic at camp kind of, if you let it happen, you're laying down on the ground and you're not doing anything. Like, you have to kind of get certain things done. And that, I was bastardized for that a little bit. You know, let's get firewood. Oh, Bruce says go get the firewood, but he's not doing anything. But things have to get done. So her having that personality and you know, she's gonna, people are gonna have to deal with it. And she's not a major threat by any stretch of the imagination, I don't think. So I have her a little bit higher than halfway. But nonetheless, that's where I'm sitting on.
I think she's in so much trouble. I really do. I'll talk about her more later. I do. I just think that the numbers have not shaken out for her. If Sierra picks the other side, if Sierra picks Andy and Sam, Annika is going home. I don't think it's Rachel. I think Annika is going home. Sam will want it to be Annika.
Yes. But remember the other side, like the other thing too, is that maybe Sam might be thinking to himself, and this might be a little early, but he might be thinking to himself, as much as she's a pain in my backside, she's a pain in other people's backside. So he could be thinking long term, keeping someone like that around. Like, she's annoying to him. And yes, they will go back and forth. Like, I was annoying to Katara. Like, there's no getting around that. She wanted me out, and I was not able to give her the satisfaction of that until I didn't play my idol. But every time that she, from what I understand, every time she wanted to get me out, somebody else had, there was a higher precedence than someone else. Someone else took more of the smoke away from me. So it just kind of worked out that way. But also we didn't go to tribal council. So it wasn't like they had the ability to vote me out before the merge. So, you know, hell, I could have been gone second had we gone to tribal. So who knows?
I mean, I just think she's in a little bit of trouble. I'm going to get to her later. That's for sure. My number six is Gabe. So I do like Gabe's positioning on this season. Even if I'm a little worried that his name did come up the last time when Kyle was just talking about it, but it seemed like nobody really wanted to bite and actually get Gabe out of the game. So I think Gabe's going to be okay. Again, a little worried about this split here. What does this mean for Gabe? Is Gabe going to be, you know, kind of swap screwed here and end up going home? That does worry me a bit, especially since right now he's on a tribe with, or, you know, he would be on a tribe with Rome, Genevieve, Saul, and then Andy, Sierra, and Annika. Maybe that puts him in the swing position of a 3-3. I don't know. But, you know, I'm a little worried, but I'm not worried enough, so I'm going to keep him where he is.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Who do you have? I have Sam at seven.
Okay.
Dead in the middle. Could go any which way but lose, just for the fact that, you know, he feels out of sorts and that he should know more than what he does. Mm-hmm. But he also, you know, will help his tribe come out with a victory, whichever way they put it, the group or the tribe. Yep. Whichever one. Yep. So I think that he'll be just fine. And then I kind of give the same exact, I'm second guessing something, but I'm going to stick with Sam for a second at seven.
I go Teeny at seven. I still think Teeny is going to be fine. Again, I don't think Saul, Rome, and Genevieve work together long-term. I don't think Saul and Rome can work together beyond what they did last week. Saul had no choice. Genevieve told Saul that, which actually makes me think Saul and Genevieve might be tighter than even Saul and Rome, or than Genevieve and Rome are. And I think Teeny is going to find a position there of either working with Saul and Genevieve or being able to go back and work with Rome and Genevieve to get Saul out. But I think Saul or Rome will be the target on that tribe if they lose. Teeny's still looking good. Teeny's right in that range. We were talking about 5.00 average confessional count right now. That's right in the middle of where everybody is, right around what D had in 45. So I'm just saying, you know, maybe I'm reading a little too much into that, but that's where I have her right now.
Maintain.
Exactly. Don't go up. Don't go down. Just stay where you're at. So yeah, 7, Teeny.
Just made a little swap. Breaking news. I'm not going to say who I moved, but I'm going to say who now I have at 8. Doing a little inflection. I have Rachel. Rachel at 8.
Okay. That's actually exactly who I have, which is funny. So look at us. The Fail Shack presents says, who would you say has been the best challenge beast of the season? I can't look past Rachel. She's been smashing it. Rachel's been killing the puzzles. Rachel's very useful on that tribe. So that's who I have. I also have her at 8.
Yeah. I give her my Franny vibe. Like, she has a Franny vibe for me because, you know, it's like looking at her, she's got the Franny vibe in my eyes. But then watching her in the puzzles and stuff like that, like her tenacity and wanting to be able to win, like she has that. Like, if we remember correctly, Franny won 2 individual immunity idols. Like, she killed it. And then unfortunately she went on 8th, just like myself, but she did it in a way of getting voted out. I just didn't play my idol. I could have went 7. Anyway, I digress. but
this is a therapy session. Get it out.
Oh man, I'm telling you, I could have used this at least 3 months ago. but no, it's legit. Like, I really do think that Rachel's going to be perfectly fine. She has, you know, her alliance is pretty strong at this point, but she has the ability to, again, talk to people, be in the know, and then utilize any information she could use to her advantage at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that Rachel, again, I think that Annika or Andy are probably the ones who go if that tribe loses. Even if Rachel is left out of the vote, I think Rachel has like teeny upside, right? Rachel would end up in a situation of, I was on the wrong side of the vote. But sometimes the best time of being blindsided is when you get blindsided, but you're the one who stays in the game. You get blindsided and your ally goes home, but now you're on high alert. You don't trust people and you get an extra life. You get to keep moving forward. And I think that's where Rachel's going to be at. Maybe that opens Rachel's game up once the merge hits. And I do think that she's going to be very dangerous in these challenges because she is so good at these puzzles and she's doing them so quickly. And I keep ripping on Blake, who did the podcast with me early on and said he couldn't stand Rachel because she was a graphic designer and they're so useless. I can't believe they put her on the show. Graphic designer is clearly the one you want to be if you're playing Survivor because she's killing these puzzles.
Yeah, it's a different part of her brain that she's using to be able to kill these puzzles. And that's you know, for me, the puzzle is a great equalizer. Like, it always has and always will be. You can have 4 parts of a challenge and you can be in the last place all the way through. But if you get up there and you look at it and that part of your brain clicks in and like, oh, okay, boom. Now you're putting your puzzle together and now you beat everybody, or at least, you know, all but the last person. But you catch right back up. You're not panicking. You're cool, calm, and collected. Okay, this goes here, that looks like this. And you put that piece together, and there you are. Like, she has that brain. So she's in a great spot. She's in a really great spot, and I think that the only way that they're going to get her is with the blind side. Yeah, and the other thing about, because you had mentioned about the blind side, and like, you know, you can be blindsided, you still be in the game, and your ally goes out. The way to be able to get past that, you know, and I can only think to my experiences that lost my vote, won immunity, Kelly gets voted out, who in my mind was my biggest ally in my game. And I was giving her as much information as I knew that came across. One thing I didn't do was go to everybody and be like, hey, like, you know, I understand everybody thought, because people were telling me, we didn't tell you what was going on, Bruce, because we didn't care that you didn't have a vote. It's just that we saw that Kelly was your number one. I was like, oh, okay. I appreciate that. then what do I got to do? Like, I didn't take that tact and say, what do I got to do? She's the kind of person that would, you know, she'll say, yeah, what do I got to do? Like, how do I help you guys out? Where do I fit into your puzzle and making your game better? And my ego didn't allow me to do that. My ego was like, well, you know what? Now I'm alone in this game because I got nobody. And that was my downfall.
Yeah. Kind of similar to what we saw Sue do. Was it Sue? No, it wasn't Sue. It was, why am I thinking of Sue? Well, no, it is. It's what we saw Sue do with Kyle, where she's like, I don't even want to talk to this guy. He wrote my name down. Okay, he wrote your name down, but now he's trying to talk to you, give you information. Like, you can't cut him off because you didn't tell him that TK was going home. If you would have told him TK was going home, he probably writes down TK's name. Who the hell cares who goes home first, as long as it's not you? So, yeah.
And that's the thing, too. Like, with me, it was like, so I got information that Kendra and Katara were, you know, talking about voting me out. And I'm just like, I'll be nicey to you, but I'm not going to do any plan that you want to do. And I was able to pick up on stuff like that. And I was intuitive enough to be like, okay, so that's not going to come to fruition. And it didn't. And I can see those reads. But it, for me, in playing the game, if I ever did it again, it would be, that's one of the things that I would do. I would want to, you know, understand why things are happening and not just go on the rational thing of, you know, in my every, you know, normal day-to-day life, somebody pisses me off, you know, I'm going to walk up to you and say, what?
Yeah.
and get to the bottom of what's going on and survive. You can't do that. You can't walk up and be like, yo, why the hell did you vote them off? Like, you can't do that stuff because then you find yourself in the next one out.
That said, I do have Sue at 9. So even though I'm sitting here saying, you know, I didn't like what Sue did in that situation, I think she's in a better spot than Kyle or Tiana, on that blue tribe. Although I do think that blue tribe is probably the most up in the air in my opinion right now. Any of those three could go home, but I think that Sue, the fact that Gabe and Caroline both really want to work with Sue is why I have her at number 9 and not any lower. And then I really get into the people that I think are in danger of going home this week. So.
Yeah, I have Ciara at number 9. You know, she's a little bit lower on the totem pole by way of, like, now getting to the, like you said, right at that cusp of kind of safe, you know, could question it, but nah, should be all right. Like, that's where I have her sitting, just because now there's the volatility between her and she and Sam. You know, he doesn't want Andy to go so he can get Andy and whoever else to start talking, you know, to helping him get his game plan. And then if someone said, you know, hey, Ciara, he'd be like, all right, fine.
Because
what he doesn't want to have happen, he doesn't want to be on a tribe full of all girls. Like, there's no getting around. He doesn't want that. Cause then the girls are going to look at each other and go, Sam,
that's why? Exactly what I think. Yep.
Yeah, that, and it's nothing against anything. Like, come on, don't come at me. And if you do, please know that I will give the smoke back. I'm not on Survivor any longer, so I am happy to yell at people. but it is what it is. Like, you know, the fear is, it might be irrational while you're home sitting on the couch, but the fear is very, very, very rational when you're sitting there on a beach and you're like, oh wow, like I'm with, you know, even with the girls, like they'll say it. I'm an only girl with three guys on a tribe. Like, they can just get rid of me because I'm a girl, and same thing vice versa. So, you know, it's just a weird dynamic, but you know, Sam doesn't want to be in that scenario, and it's going to be, okay, who can go? She lied, or not so much lied to me. She kept the truth from me, which in the game of Survivor is just as bad as lying. There we go.
Yeah, no, and that's a good reasoning there. I'm still of the fact that they're like island darlings here, you know, like totally, like, you know, just like in a totally like platonic way. They are just island darlings, and I feel like they had their little feud, and they're going to get back together, and they're still going to be each other's number ones. But you could have the right take on this, where it's actually Ciara who's digging her own hole. I just don't feel like Rachel or Annika would be willing to vote out Ciara. So then that would come down to an idle play from Sam, either on himself or on Andy, in order to send Ciara home. At least that's, you know, just how I would see it shaking out.
Yeah. You know, two, it's three on him. They're all, you know, they nullify with the idol. He and Andy write down Ciara.
Yeah. Who do you have at number 10?
Number 10, I have Saul. I have Saul at number 10.
I don't like that we're doing this, but I also have Saul at number 10. So go ahead.
You have to like that you're doing, because we're both very, very intelligent young men. Yeah, Saul's at 10 just because that's now the danger zone. To talk about last week's episode, I think I might have touched base on it already. Like, it's taken all of his inner person to not be one of those fight videos on Twitter. You know, like, his restraint, and then him, like, he said a phrase, "Is this real life?" Mm-hmm. Sorry, Saul, it's not. You know, dude's gonna get away with whatever he possibly can, just because if you come at him in an aggressive tone, now you have people that are on your tribe that are like, "Oh, he's aggressive. Like, I don't think I want that around anymore." You know what I mean? So he's playing it right, but he's also in the aspect of the game, like, because I believe Teeny said that it's uncomfortable.
Teeny had the great look at the camera, like, "What the hell is going on?"
She looked back twice. Twice at the camera. And it's like, but that is a double-edged sword, because as much as Teeny's feeling for him right now, if he turns around and says something, you know, like, "Back up, I'm going to beat your ass. And these cameramen are not going to be able to get to you fast enough before I mop you up." Like, you know, my boy Abraham said, if he says that, Teeny is gone, I think. Yeah. Even though she feels for him, Teeny's going. Teeny's not going to want to be around that. I don't think anybody's going to want to be around that. But Teeny was right there, seeing how he was in his face. He's like, "Yo, can I go over there and chill?" And he's like, "No, you can't. This is a fight." And Saul was just like, "Okay, all right."
Yeah.
Go ahead. He's stuck around. He's still here because he had two advantages, and they had the ability to get. I think I really do think Rome would have been gone, even if. If he took Saul's vote and it worked out the way it was supposed to, I think they would have had the revote. I think it would have been, you know, 2-2, I believe.
It would,
yeah. So, I have Saul, excuse me, in this position because he's gonna be if they go back to tribal again. He could be in a very, very desperate situation, but you also would need to let these people know this dude doesn't need to be around, because once he gets over to the other side, then he's going to start convincing people that he was, you know, the victim and he had to act that way and go from there. So I don't know. I think that smells.
This is where I agree with you here. The reason I have Saul ahead of Rome is because if you're Teeny and Genevieve, would you rather go into a merge with Rome? Or would you rather go into a merge with Saul? Mm-hmm. The answer is Saul. Like, you would rather go into the merge with Saul. If you want to break into the other side, if you want to be able to build something, if you want predictability, you want to get to the merge with Saul. Rome is all over the place. Rome is chaotic. You know Rome's chaotic. He's found two advantages. He's used them both. You don't want him getting to the merge. He's so dangerous if he gets if Rome gets to the merge, he's the type of person who can pull that Russell shit. I'm just going to play idol after advantage after advantage, blah, blah. I know the numbers are so big, but Rome can make so much happen. So for me, I would rather go to the merge with Saul, which is why I have Saul at 10. And then I don't have Rome at the bottom of my list. I ultimately don't think Red is going to lose again. But, you know, I am definitely the most concerned for Rome right now because I'm worried that he has nowhere to hide.
Yeah. I have Rome at 11.
Okay. I have him at 12. So I'll just go. I'll get a little ahead of it so we can just talk about it at the same time. I have him at 12.
Okay. I have Rome at 11 under Saul because I think that Saul is going to be able to appeal to better people's better judgment if they go to tribal. That's the same exact thing. You know, Saul's going to say about Rome, you know, "You don't want this chaos to come into, you know, tribal," because they already know he's and this is said on the television show. It's not me saying it. That he's a selfish player. He's out for himself. Okay. Mm-hmm. But also he does have some charisma that's there. And he charisma wise, he reminds me of Caleb, you know, he's listening, hopefully still, you know, great, great dude, great charisma. And I saw that myself personally. I saw that, like, yo, he can cause a lot of chaos. So once Rome gets to the merge, he's bouncing, talking to everybody. He's having that conversation with every single person. Mm-hmm. And then you're sitting there. Now you have other people that's on the tribe and you're looking like, okay, so he's talking to this one, this one, and this one. What's being hatched? Is he going to let me in on that information? No, he's not. Oh, okay. So here we go. And that's how that's why I have him below Saul, because Saul is going to have the ability, I think, to have the conversation to get people to be like, yo, let's really just think about this. Like, take your I love him hat off and just think about how that's going to affect your game. And boom.
Yeah, so I put Tiana at 11, and then I go Rome 12. So Tiana, I've already talked about. I just feel like she's in a little bit of danger if that tribe loses, just because it feels like she could be the, you know, the friendly fire almost, right? I now have Kyle below her. I had her below Kyle for the last 2 weeks, but I now have Kyle below her because I think they're close enough to emerge. They're not worried about tribe strength or anything like that. But so I've heard 11, but the reason I have Rome at 12 is because pretty much everything you're saying. It's like Rome is playing so aggressively, and it's phenomenal TV. But you don't know what happens when Rome starts to be able to talk to other people. I don't think Rome wins, but maybe he does just win. Like, maybe this is just a Tony type game where he's just out there and he's just going to smoke everybody. He's going to play aggressively. He only knows how to play one way, but he does enough socially that he can actually get people's votes at the end. Who knows? Right now, I don't see it, but it could happen. I didn't see Tony doing it either in the beginning portion of his game in Kageon. I think that Rome is playing so hard, though. And he wants to be in here. Maybe you want him in the merge because he can't do a puzzle to save his life, even if you think he threw it. You know, I just think he can't do it.
I would love to ask you that question. You can whisper to my ear and I'll never tell a soul.
Never tell a soul, right? Come on, Rome, shoot me a text, man. I think we got to get a cameo from Rome where we just say, hey, man, did you throw the challenge? I truly think that if they lose, he will go. I just don't think Red's going to lose. So that's why I have him as he's my highest person that I have lowest on a tribe, right? So like I have both Annika and Kyle below Rome because I feel like Red is in the best shape. I actually have Kyle at 15. I'll just do mine real quick. I have Kyle at 13 and then I have Annika at 14 because Annika doesn't have her vote. So the best that Sierra and Rachel can do is force a 2-2 tie. If Andy doesn't want to go against Sam, which I don't think he's going to want to. Sam has already established that he doesn't want to get rid of Andy. Because Annika doesn't have that vote, you're looking at a 2-2 tie. I think that puts Annika in a really bad spot. And I think Annika, who you had at number 6, I have down here at number 14, thinking she's going to go home. And I have Kyle at 13, because I just don't think Kyle has been able to get any legs underneath him. And the thing is, when I look at Kyle right now, he was getting confessionals and I was like, okay, they're keeping him relevant. They're keeping him relevant. Then last week he didn't get a confessional. And so he doesn't have the biggest personality. He doesn't get a confessional. He's in a bad spot. To me, those are telltale signs that like, okay, he fell out of the story. That probably means he's not too long from going home. So him at 13, Annika at 14, you got three people left.
I have Sue's at 12.
Okay.
And I have Sue at 12, and it's kind of contradictory to what I think about the mom edit. I think that with Sue saying that she was 45 years old, they looked at her like, oh my God, you know, kind of did the normal thing that you would do because you never ask a woman.
that up.
Right? She said she was 45, and, you know, I think that there's more on the cutting room floor that said no. She there's no way she's 45. You know, and then kind of go from there. No shaming or anything like that. Like, this is just a conversation that was more than like he had. And if it wasn't, hey, whatever. This is just my take from the edit. So I think that they're saying, okay, she's lying about that. She can lie about other things. And are we going to keep her around? Maybe, maybe not. But I think that if push comes to shove, with her lying about the paint, that's going to spread around. More people are going to find out about it. She does have an idol now, but with her lying about the paint, I think that she's going to be so much in love with the people that she's with that she's not going to use it, and she's going to get voted out with that. I think she'll be the first person to be voted out with an idol. And then after that, I have my man, Kyle. I have him at 13. Because I think he's a lone man right now. Like, he's on an island of his own, no pun intended. You know, he's got like a quasi relationships with people. But it doesn't seem like it's very strong. And then for my 14th and final, as much as I said it already, Sam's going to put the idol on himself. It's mm-hmm. last for one trial. He's going to play it on himself. He wants to make sure he stays in the game, and his worst fear is going to come to fruition that he's the only guy in an all, you know, a four person tribe. And they're going to go right at Andy and just vote Andy off. Because I don't think he's relevant to, I don't know. I'm sorry. Please don't.
Relevant. Oh my, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Relevant to the people's games and or stories. And to go back really quick to Kyle's story, whose story is he a part of? Mm-hmm. Meaning that I was a part of Katora's story and I just, you know, I didn't win the game. He's a part of someone's story some way, somehow, whether it be now or at the merge. So, but to go back to Andy, I think that his life is very short in this game because nobody forgets anything in this game. Ever, like, you're constantly remembering what happened on the barge in day one, and then you're constantly thinking about, you know, when you're going to make, you know, write down on that piece of parchment who you want to win the game, the things that they've done up until this point.
So now let me ask you this: if you were on an island with somebody like Andy, what happened in episode one? Obviously there's so much more inner workings and everything like that, but mm-hmm. just knowing yourself and assuming that you can put the pieces together, what was going on the island, would you be willing to work with somebody like Andy, or do you think that you would have been like, I got to put my foot down and I don't want to move forward with
Andy? Sorry. I wouldn't work with Andy just for the fact. Well, if I'm on his tribe, I don't want to work with him because he's blowing it up in the tribe. Like, yeah. He just said some stupid stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just emotion. It's his emotion being out there, I think, 3 days at that point in time. So that's that. But then all the other people are looking at it like, what did he just do? Yeah, did he just blow up that dude's game? Like, how's he going to blow my game up? Like, how's he going to make me feel like I'm not, you know, what I'm saying is not going to be given to a million other people? So I think that if I was on the island with Andy, and if I had any power at that moment in time, I'd be like, oh, he's got to go because it's not going to help any of our games. To have a number like that could potentially turn into something dangerous where he – could be that deciding vote that tags along with somebody else in the now I'm going.
So. Yeah. So I got three questions. I know we've gone long, but I got three questions. You can answer them quick. You can answer them slow, whatever you want to do here, but this is the quick ones. First, who do you think is going to win this season?
Tiana.
Okay. So you got Tiana. Okay. So that makes sense why you had her up at number two. That was my preseason winner pick. Was that your preseason winner?
Yes, sir.
There you go. Look at us. We really do. We have the same brain. You watch the show Woo-hoo! Enough to start to – you start to like the same people and you can't even help yourselves. number two, anybody from either of you, you've played two seasons. So from 44 or from 45, if you can mm-hmm. pick one person to be on season 50, who do you want it to be?
Oh man. Why couldn't you give me these questions prior to,
cause I got to put you on the spot. So you start sweating and stuff. Look at that. You're wiping the sweat off your head. You're dying over there.
I'm just trying to show my biceps. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I could tell. That's pretty good.
No,
that's pretty good.
No.
It made me feel small.
So, what I would say is, if can I get one from each season or just
yeah,
one?
You can get one from each season. Yeah.
I would love to see Kelly play again. I'd love to see Kels play again because she was great TV. The way she went out was, you know. She did something right for people to vote her out the way they did. So I would like to see Kels. I call her Kels. I'd like to see Kelly play again. And then from season 44. Oh God, that's a. If I'm gonna go guy girl, I would say Matthew would be one of them. I'm sorry, Matt, not Matthew. Matt hurt his shoulder. Matt. Matthew hurt his shoulder. So yes. Matthew is who I would want to have back on. And as far as for the ladies, I would say oh my God. Heidi. I would want to see Heidi in again. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I like that. Breaking hearts. All right. Now
love everybody.
I love throwing these questions out there. I've been getting everybody on the spot with these so far. So then the last one is Survivor history. You only get one person. You get to pick the one person you want to see the most on season 50. Who is it?
The one person I would want to see the most.
Hmm.
Oh man, there are so many that are running through my mind right now. Wow, that's a very good question. Because there are so many people that are deserving of it, and then there's so many people that like would just kick ass.
I love it.
Me? Can I say me?
Yeah, there you go. Bruce wants to see Bruce.
Oh, listen, I would love to see me play in 50, but I definitely am a realist, and I know that there was so many just amazing TV gold people to be on there. Mm-hmm. And you know, I would throw a shout to, you know, I would put Jam on there. I would, you know, and this might be a little crazy. Old school Colby Donaldson, like I would love to see him on 50. Not new school. Yeah, I mean, well, not new school. Today's Colby, but the old Colby. I'd love to see him. Ethan Zahn. I would love to see Ethan play again because he brought for me, he brought this thing, this cool Zen to the game, you know. And I know that he's had, you know, he's done. Yeah, I know he's not ever gonna come back and play again, yeah. But I would love to see him play again. You know, Boston Rob's had his run. As far as for women, not because I'm going to see her this weekend, but I'd love to see Julie. I'd love to see Mama J play again.
Yeah.
Because she, for me, she, for all the moms that have played this game, you know, she has done so much in her life, but she just has that one thing. She just, and I think that she would be able to bring it out there this time would just be a little bit more of a tenacity type thing. Mm-hmm. You know, she loved D, but she had the ability to vote D out. And she just didn't want to do it because it wasn't right yet to vote D out because she loved her too much. You know, so I'd love to see that. And it like I said, there are so many other people that are well deserving of it. I would love to play season 52. Like, and I'll give myself until the age of 52 to play this game again. And then,
I love that.
Then I'm done.
I love that. Well, there you go. There you go. Yeah. Well, thanks, Bruce. It was a pleasure. Glad we were able to do this. Glad we got this worked out, and hopefully it wasn't too late of the night for you. I know I'm struggling a little bit at this point, but you know, 10:30. I'm getting old.
Yeah, man. Don't you worry. I got another hour before I go to bed, so I don't sleep. Then I wake up at 5 o'clock, so I'm ready to go.
There you go. I love that. Well, everybody, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. We got a whole bunch of content going on over there. We're into Guatemala for our Every Season Matters series, which is a good time. We're doing spooky movies over there on Tuesdays now for Halloween. We got Survivor Rock Draw. Me and Will just did one today where we went through and did the ABCs of Survivor. We listed the best player with each letter at their letter. So from A to Z, we did the best player for each letter, which was a really fun podcast, actually. I'm doing Australian Survivor. I'm almost done with Champions versus Contenders 1. So much going on over on the Patreon. Become a patron. Like this video. Subscribe to the channel. If you're one of our patrons, top tier patrons already, make sure you get your power rankings in. It's wide open right now because nobody can pick shit right. So you got plenty of time to catch up. Bruce, always a pleasure. Everybody, see you Wednesday night. Right after the episode. And it's over.